It's been a couple of Sundays. I don't know if any of you can recall, but two Sundays ago, last Sunday, we had our Christmas play. We might should do a Christmas play every Sunday because there was probably about 350 people here last Sunday morning. What a blessing it was to see this place full last Sunday morning. I believe a lot of seeds were planted last weekend during our play, and I ask y'all just to pray for God to send somebody to water those and that God will give the increase and we'll see more souls saved. Hey, I truly believe when we get to heaven one day and God shows us what little bit part we had and people come to know Jesus Christ, I believe it'll be a true blessing. But as we come together this morning, and if you remember a couple of Sundays ago, I preached and I started preaching on the idea of that good old Christmas story of the ghost of Christmas past, the ghost of Christmas present, and the ghost of Christmas future. I told you I was going to preach extra long this morning. I'm being for real. So just hang on here with me. We'll preach just as fast as the Lord will allow me to. But I had forgotten that we were going to have a Christmas play in between that. So today you're going to get two messages in one. So y'all pray that the Spirit of the Lord just follow me and I preach real fast and we'll be done in normal time anyway. But so this morning, for just a few minutes, I want us to look at present and future in our life. And I'm not really talking about ghosts. I just want us to look at our lives this morning. There's only one ghost I believe in, and that's the Holy Ghost. I believe there are many spirits because the Bible tells us to try the spirits and see which ones are of God. But I believe in only one ghost, and that is the Holy Ghost that lives on the inside of me. But as we get into the message today, I ask you to pray for me that God will keep my mind on track of what I feel like he wants us to cover this morning. If you will, bow your heads and pray with me and surely pray for me. Lord, we thank you for this day and we thank you for all that you do for us. God, I pray that you'll help us as we get into your word today, God, that you'll take your word and that you'll teach me, that you'll guide me, God, that I will surrender my life to you and that I will follow everything that you want for my life, God. God, I pray that you'll help us as we've come together this morning that we worship you. God, I pray most of all, if there's one here today that's lost, I pray that today will be the day that they come to know you as their personal Savior and receive that best gift that could ever be given, and that is your Son, Jesus Christ. And it is his name we pray. Amen. Romans chapter number 12, we're going to read a couple of verses here. I think I told Shannon just one, but as I was sitting there on the front pew reading, let's go ahead and read verses 1 and verse 2. Verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I'm going to stop reading right here for just a moment. As we look at our lives this morning, I want to go ahead and make this declaration that this message this morning is to the church. It is to the people who have been saved, who are believers in God, who have asked Jesus Christ to move into their hearts, into their lives. Now, if you're here and you're lost this morning, don't cut me off because I'm going to be going over some things that you need to be part of that you don't have the promise of just yet. But as we look at Romans chapter number 12, verses 1 and 2, and as we look at him, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. As we read that verse this morning, that is not to lost people. Lost people don't know how they're supposed to live. They don't know anything about presenting their body a living sacrifice unto God. We can't hold them to the same expectations that we are held to by God's word. But I want to tell us this morning, as Christian believers this morning, if we are claiming Jesus Christ is our Savior, there is an expectation from God to us that we present our bodies a living sacrifice, that we be not conformed to this world, but that we be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we live our lives in a way that gives God glory and points others to the cross. Man, I've said that how many times? Come on, let's do this one time. We want to live our lives in a way that gives God glory and points others to the cross. Maybe we need a big old banner that says that somewhere right here. But I want to look at it this morning, and I want you to look at your life in the present form that it is in. I want us to look, hey, there's going to be a lot of talk about presence this week, but I want to talk about a different kind of present, and that is the right now of your life. Where are you at with God right now in your life? Are we finding ourselves falling in to Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2, that we're presenting our bodies a living sacrifice, that we're not being conformed, but we are being transformed? Are we finding ourselves in that state? As I look at my life, there are days that I can look and say, amen, I am giving my body, my life as a living sacrifice, that I'm not conforming, I'm being transformed. And then there's days in my life when I go, man, I messed up, I failed, I come short. There's no way in the world that if somebody watched me walk today that they would think that I'm a pastor, a preacher, or even a Christian. And you say, well, what in the world, preacher? What are you doing? Hey, I do my best to live my life for God. But this world is tough to live in as a Christian, that this world is tough to live in to present our bodies a living sacrifice that's holy and acceptable unto God. I want us to look at Romans chapter number 7. I want to give you a great example of this desire that we're supposed to have. Romans chapter number 7, verses number 18 and verse number 19, as we are reading the writings of Paul. I mean, a man that we know as Saul, that he held the coat for people as they stoned Stephen, but then he had a miraculous transformation that God saved him there on the Damascus Road, or God spoke to him, and that his life was changed. It was changed so much that it even changed his name from Saul to Paul, and that he established churches everywhere, and that he wrote a lot of God's word that we read this morning. I want you to read with me what he says. He says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." I want us to look as Paul, as he had that miraculous transformation, as he had that miraculous life-changing experience, and now we see him in Romans chapter number 7. He says, "I desire to do the will of God. I desire to allow my life to be that living sacrifice. I desire not to be conformed, but to be transformed. I desire to do," he says, "but you know, the things that I would do, those things I don't. And the things that I wouldn't do, those things that I do." But I want us to look at our lives in the present form that it's in this morning. How are we living our lives for God? We honestly have a desire to live right and to do right and to do the things that gives glory unto God and that points others to the cross of Christ. But this life is tough. This life throws things at us sometimes that trips us up, that makes us fall and makes us come short. I want to remind you in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, verse number 13. As we read this verse, I want you to look, because we all have some kind of temptation that comes our way. See, you know, it seems so easy to sit here on Sunday morning with brothers and sisters in Christ that are like-minded, that we're here to worship God, that we're here to follow God's leadership, that we're here to worship one with another. And it seems so easy to sit here and say, "I'm going to live my life for Christ. I'm going to go out into a lost and a dying world, and I'm going to point others to the cross. When I go to work Monday, I'm going to praise God. When I go to work Tuesday, I'm going to worship God. When I go to work Wednesday, I'm going to live my life that reflects God." It is so easy to say that this morning until you get up on Monday morning and temptations and trials and burdens hit you slap in the face. Then all of that you got on Sunday morning seems like it gets kind of smothered down, doesn't it? But I want us to look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, verse number 13. "There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man." But I want you to look, here's a promise, Christians, that we can lean on when that temptation comes. When that thing that bothers you comes along your way, when that fellow employee comes up and they say something to you that makes that temper go from 0 to 100 just like that. When you smash your finger, or for me, it's my head, I can't stand to hit my head, and when I hit my head, I have to walk off and say, "God, please clear my mind, because there's things going through it that shouldn't be." But when that temptation comes through, I want you to look what the Bible says. "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able." I like that word, that few words there in that verse that says, "But God is faithful." See, the thing is, I'm not always faithful to God, but God has always been faithful to me. "But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. I'm glad that that way of escape is always there. My problem is sometimes when that temptation comes my way, I close my eyes and I'm not looking for a way of escape. I want to satisfy my flesh. I want to satisfy my temper. I want to satisfy whatever it is for the moment, and I don't look for that way of escape. But if we want to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, if we want to be transformed instead of conformed, then we need to be looking for that way of escape when temptation comes our way. I'm thankful that God has promised that He will be faithful and will make a way of escape with my temptation. See, as we were talking about a few moments ago, I'm going to do my best to move quickly this morning. As we were talking about just a few minutes ago, we all get caught up in this world from time to time. We all get to where, I mean, we forget that we're just pilgrims and strangers here. We forget that we're not, that we're just passing through. I want you to look with me with 1 John chapter number 2, verse number 15. A lot of this scripture come right through our Christmas play. Our Christmas play was loaded with scripture. I'm thankful for that. 1 John chapter number 2, verse number 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. It is so difficult not to get caught up in the things of the world. It is so, I mean, and when we read this scripture and we see the lust of the eyes, and we all begin to think one thing right off the top of our head. We begin to think about a sexual sin of some kind. But I want to tell you something, that you can have lust for all different kinds of things that this world has to offer. You can get caught up so bad in all the things that this world, hey, I want to ask you something. Have you spent more time reading your Bible and talking to God in prayer, or have you spent more time watching an impeachment trial on our president? Have you spent more time telling others about Jesus Christ and what a wonderful Savior He is? Or have we spent more time talking about the impeachment process that's going on in Washington? It doesn't matter what your viewpoint is on that. What I want to tell you is that is nowhere near as important as me living my life for God and me presenting my body a living sacrifice and me telling others about the love of Jesus Christ. But it's so hard not to get caught up in the things of the world. Have I spent more time teaching my kids about Jesus, or have I spent more time teaching them how to dribble a basketball? I'll get in my wheelhouse this morning. Have I spent more time telling my kids about how good God is in my life, or have I spent more time showing my trail camera pictures to them? I want to tell you something. It's not that there's anything wrong with some of those things, but the thing of it is they get out of priority sometimes. They get out there where they shouldn't be, and we begin to teach our kids. We begin to teach ourselves. We begin to form habits that shows that the things of this world is more important to us than the things that are out of this world in heaven waiting on us. Amen. Hey, I'm all over my wheelhouse this morning, so if I'm plowing in your potato patch, just join right up with me and we'll all plow together is the only thing I can tell you. We get caught up in this world. We get caught up in all the things that's going on, and you know what that does? That hinders me from presenting my body a living sacrifice. That hinders me from being transformed instead of conformed. Where are you at in your present state right now? Hey, I want to see my kids do good. I want to see them play good volleyball. I want to see them play good basketball. And all of that takes work. It takes dedication. It takes commitment. I want to see them have good grades. That takes dedication. That takes commitment. But I want to see them be good soldiers for Christ. And that takes dedication and commitment this morning. And I'm afraid that I push one without pushing the other. God, help me to take a look at my present life and not to get caught up in the things of this world. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. We have trouble. We have trials. We have temptation. Look, Job chapter number 14, verse number 1. Job writes, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. You know what? There's some circumstances that are going to come in your life that is absolutely out of your control. They came your way and you had absolutely nothing to do with it. That's called trouble. And when that trouble comes your way, think about Job. Think about as man or person after person came to Job and told him, your oxen have been killed, your camels have been killed, and then on down the line until your children have been killed. Think about Job as he was getting all of that bad news. I mean, just one right after the other. That is trouble. And Job even writes, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. And when that trouble comes in my present life, when that trouble comes right now, it is hard for me to present my body a living sacrifice. It is hard for me to show that I'm being transformed instead of conformed. It is hard for me to get out here and to live my life with a smile on my face and to let people know that God has got me no matter what. But I want to show you also in Psalm chapter number 46, verse number one, that in the middle of that trouble, that when those things come that is out of our control, we didn't have anything to do with it. It's just a circumstance of life that happened, and here comes all that trouble. I want you to know this morning that Psalms 46 and 1 says that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. There's going to be times I can't help you. The church can't help you. No amount of money in this world could help you, but I want to tell you what, you got a God in heaven that can help you. He can reach down further than anybody else can reach down into your heart, and he can comfort you and give you peace. He can help you through all the trouble that you may have. I'm glad that even though that this life is full of trouble, and that trouble may help keep me from being transformed instead of conformed, that it may keep me from presenting my body a living sacrifice, I'm glad that when I sit down and I stop for just a minute and I really think about how God has changed my life, how God changed my eternity, and how that one day, even as a 7-year-old boy, that I sat down and he saved me from my sins and he changed my eternity, that my trouble on this earth is really not all that important at all. Hey, I was telling somebody just yesterday at the funeral home, passed by somebody we go to church with. Listen to me. I don't want you to think that I walk around just going, oh, life is terrible. Life is, hey, I want to see my kids grow up. I want to see them do wonderful things. I want to live a long and happy life with my wife and all those kinds of things. I want to do wonderful things here in this life, and I'm so blessed. But there are days that I look and say, God, you've blessed me so much, and if you're ready for me to go, I'm ready to go, because you want to know something? Whether I go or whether I stay, I'm a winner either way. Amen. Man, sometimes I'm ready to go because I know what I've got to look forward to. These things have I spoken unto you in John chapter number 16, verse number 33. These things have I spoken unto you that in me you might have peace. In this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. There is nothing that this world can throw at you that God doesn't have under control. Romans chapter number 8, verse number 18. We're going to switch gears here in just a moment. I want you to read with me what Paul read. See, I know Paul, he may have been from Cana or Ararat. I'm not sure which one it was, because I love the way he writes this. This is like one of my favorite scriptures to quote, because I can say, for I reckon, wrecked them near to killed them, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed. I want to tell you this morning that the sufferings that we go through, the things here in this earth that we think are so terrible, the things that we see people go through and we say, oh, that's just awful. Nobody in the world should ever have to go through that. And how bad it is, some of the circumstances that people are in and some of the things that people have been through. But I want to tell you something that he says right here in Romans chapter 8. He says, for I reckon that those sufferings, those things that are so bad, those things that are so terrible, he says, they're not even worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed to us. I'm telling you, one day, church, all of this that we know as pain and suffering, all of this that we know as bad circumstances and troubles and trials and burdens, I'm going to tell you, it's not even to be compared with what we're fixing to walk into. And that's where we're going to get into the future. I don't know where you're at in your present life, but I want to tell you what you got coming to your future this morning. If you're here and you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior, I want you to read something with me in Revelation chapter number 4. I'm going to read just a few verses right here. I want you to know that as the vision is being given of heaven right here, I want you to know in Revelation chapter number 4, he's standing before a throne. And as he stands before this throne, as John is seeing this, and he stands before this throne, and he tells us in the first few verses, and I'm not going to read them for the sake of time. He tells us in the first few verses, he gives us the description of what's going on right here. And he says that there's a book, but nobody is worthy to open this book. I want to read to you in verse number 4. Look, and I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. He said, I'm brokenhearted. Here I am standing in the middle of this throne, in the middle of this awesome place that I'm given a vision of. And he said, and now I'm weeping because here's a book and nobody is worthy to open this book. Nobody across heaven, none of the angels, nobody there in heaven, none of the saints, nobody is worthy to open this book and to read the book or to even look upon the book. And verse number 5, and one of the elders said unto me, weep not. He said, you better stop crying because behold, the line of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals. I want you to know this morning that there's not a lot of things in this life that we can go to and somebody say, no, you can't do that. Yo, you can't do that. But I want to tell you, as John was seeing this vision, he says, I see this book and there's nobody that's worthy to open this book. But as John is sitting there and he's starting to weep and they come to him and say, look, don't weep, don't cry because the line of the tribe of Judah, do you know who that is? Do you know who that is? That's Jesus Christ himself. Yes, sir, brother. I'm glad that there is one that's worthy this morning. There is one that is worthy of all my honor and my glory and my praise. I'm going to tell you something. I don't know about your past. I don't know where you are in your present, but I want to tell you something. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, one day you're going to be in his presence. One day when we lay this earthly body down that we hold so dear, that we think is so important, and I tell you, if I get sick today, I'll go to the hospital. I want to live as long as I can, but if I really knew what is waiting for me over there, I'd be happy to be there in the presence of God. One day I'm going to be in his presence there with the one that's worthy. Amen. Verse number 12, saying with a loud voice, listen to this, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power. Somebody might order, get me some oxygen. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. I want you to know that the day that we stand in the presence of that throne, the day that we stand in the presence of God, the day that we see Jesus face to face, we're going to realize just how worthy he really is. We're going to give him honor and glory. But I want to tell you something, church, that Jesus that is going to be there on that throne, that line, that tribe of Judah, that root of David, the one that we're saying, man, he is so worthy. I want to tell you something. He's worthy right now for the same kind of honor and glory and praise. He's worthy of us to worship him. Amen. Man, I may get cut loose when I get to heaven. Worthy. We're going to be in his presence, and we're going to worship him like you've never seen before. I mean, can you imagine? As they're here that day and they're singing, and the angel said, you got a song that we can't sing because we've been redeemed. Worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb. Holy, holy, holy is the Lamb who was and is to come. I want to tell you something this morning. I am looking forward to the day when I lay down this flesh that holds me back from giving God glory. When I lay down this flesh that holds me back from giving him honor. When I lay down this flesh that holds me back from worshiping him the way that I should. And I finally see him face to face. And when I see those nail scarred hands, knowing that they were done for me, even though I'm an old sinner, that I fall and come short so much. But he loved me so much that he was willing to lay down his life for me. I want to tell you something, church. It's going to be an awesome thing to be in the presence of God. Your future holds being in the presence of God. One more scripture and I'll be done. Revelations chapter number 21. Revelations chapter number 21. I think we'd have been all right without a mic this morning, brother. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away and there was no more sea. Church, Christians this morning, if you're here and you know Jesus Christ, I can tell you in your future is being in the presence of God. And that is what's going to make heaven, heaven. That is what's going to make heaven so worth it, is to be in the presence of God. But I want to show you some benefits that we're going to get there also. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Verse number 4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Church, I don't know what's in your past. I don't know what's in your present. Only you and God do. But I can tell you in your future that all these trials are going to be over. all these troubles are going to be over. The bad phone calls that you get of bad circumstances happening in your life is going to be over. The doctor coming in and saying, I've got some bad news for you, and we'll try to make a plan for this, is going to be over. Watching our loved ones' memories slide away as they grow older, one day that's all going to be over. The fact of death is going to be over. The heartaches, the separations, the troubles, the trials, the burdens, the sin, the fussing, the fighting, the drama, all of that is going to be over when we finally step in the presence of a holy and a righteous God. You know, I can't help but think as we look through the congregation this morning, hey, we know that being there in the presence of God is what's going to make heaven heaven. But I'm going to tell you that there's going to come a day when you don't have to miss that loved one anymore. Pam, there's going to come a day when that you don't have to miss your loved ones anymore. You're going to be there with King Jesus. You're going to be there with your family that profess Christ as their Savior. I'm going to tell you what, heaven is going to be something special. Heaven is going to be so wonderful. I'm glad that I know this morning that I'm on my way to heaven, that He's going to prepare a place for me. I'm glad because of John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life, that I have the promise of an everlasting life in heaven with God. I'm so thankful that all of that's going to be over, that all of the sicknesses and the troubles are going to be done. As we talked about at the end of the play the other night, I'm glad that I won't have to put up with that old rascal, the devil, anymore. I'm so sick of the devil and watching him work and destroy. But there's coming a day that you won't have to wait anymore to see those loved ones. You know, as I look through Facebook over the past couple of days, and I see people talking about their loved ones who've gone on. Listen, I know in our hearts, I have a great grandpa that died when I was about 15, almost 16 years old, and he was so special to us. And there are times when I think, man, I just wish grandpa could be here. I just wish grandpa could see this. I wish he could see my kids, and I wish he could see their personalities, because he would love. I wish we could sit around his old wood stove one more time and him sit and tell us those old stories. Wish we could sit one time and him telling about revenuers coming and catching people down on the old creek bank. That he could come and tell us about going to Winston and selling produce. All those wonderful things that we did together and all those wonderful memories. I wish that grandpa could be. And, you know, I see people saying that on their Facebook, but I want to tell you something. Your loved one is sitting in heaven going, boy, I wish they could be here. Boy, I wish they could just see one time what I'm doing today. Boy, I wish they could just know what's going over. You know, our loved ones are not sitting over thinking about us, because there's nothing in heaven that's going to bring sadness to their hearts. But I'm going to tell you something. If that was possible, they would be thinking, I just want you to be here with me. I want you to be here for all eternity, that we can worship God and that we can be in this heaven that God has created for us. I know it's heartbreaking when our loved ones go, but I'm going to tell you something. If they were saved, if their sins had been washed away in the blood of Jesus Christ, they're not gone. They've just moved to the eternal home. Amen. Waiting on us. How wonderful that's going to be. Hannah, if you will, come get us an invitation hymn this morning. Listen, this whole message has been to Christian people. Where are you in your present? We talked about your past a couple of weeks ago. Where are you in your present life? Are you presently living a life that shows that you're committed your life to Jesus Christ, that you're surrendered to Jesus Christ, that you're yielded to His Holy Spirit? Sometimes yes, sometimes no. That's the boat I'm in. That's the place I'm at. Sometimes troubles get me. Sometimes trials get me. Sometimes temptation gets me. Sometimes just being too caught up in the world gets me. Christians, I don't know where you are presently, but I've showed you where we're going to be in the future. But now let's talk just a couple of quick minutes. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ, look, all of these promises that I've showed that we as Christians have about a God that is there for us in our troubles, about a God that will provide us a way of escape, about a God that is going to prepare a place for us and to reunite us with our loved ones so we can be in His presence forever. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you don't have any of those promises. God has offered them to you. I don't know if you're here and you're lost this morning. I don't know any way in this world that you could leave here and saying, God didn't speak to me, because God's presence is real in this place this morning. Let me tell you about a quick future for you. The Bible tells us it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. Revelation chapter number 20, you can go and read about the great white throne judgment. And I'm going to give you the skinny to it. I'm going to get right to the point. It says, and whosoever's name was not written in the book was cast into the lake of fire. Now, whether you like it or not, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ, that's the only promise you have. Out of all these wonderful promises that we as children of God, we don't deserve them. We're not better than you. We have done nothing to deserve that except for confess Jesus Christ. Confess our sins to Him and allow Him to come into our heart, into our life. That's the only difference between me and you. With every head bowed and every eye closed for just a minute. Preacher, I'm here this morning. I know without a doubt that I'm saved. I can tell you about the day that Jesus Christ saved my soul. But in my present life, I'm not living it to present my body a living sacrifice. I'm being more conformed instead of transformed. I don't want to live like this. God continually speaks to my heart and draws me. And it seems like I continually fall, whether it be because of troubles or trials or situations, whatever it is. But preacher, I just want you to pray for me. Would you just slip up your hand and say, preacher, I see your hand, you put it right back down. I see your hand, you put it right back down. Preacher, I'm not presenting my body a living sacrifice. I see it, you put it right back down. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, preacher, I'm lost. I have never accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I know if I should die right now, that the only promise I have is the one that you just told us, that if my name's not written in the book, that I'll spend eternity in hell. Preacher, I don't want to die and go to hell. I don't know that I can come this morning. I don't know that I got the courage, but preacher, I don't want to die and go to hell. Would you just pray for me? Just slip up your hand. That's all I'll do is pray for you. I see your hand, you put it right back down. Preacher, just pray for me. I'm lost. I don't want to die and go to hell. One last one. Preacher, I'm here. I'm saved. I make a lot of mistakes and fall and come short, but I'm doing my best to live my life for God. And I don't want to just raise one hand, but I want to raise two and just praise God for where my future is. Amen. Praise all over the church. Amen. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for this day. We thank you for all your many blessings. God, I'm so unworthy to be one of your children, but I'm glad that you love me enough to allow your son to give his life for me. God, help me in my present life, that I live the way that I'm supposed to live. And God, I want to thank you for my future. God, I pray for the one that raised their hand that they were lost. God, you know exactly who they are, and I pray that you'll speak to their heart and draw them. God, I want to thank you for the Christians who know where their future are. God, I want to pray for the ones that find themselves in the same boat with me, struggling in this present life from time to time. God, I pray that you'll strengthen them and encourage them. Help us, that we completely surrender our lives to you. In Jesus' name, amen.